And the either parallel or contextually contextually juxtapose the bracha of Mechayim Esim, that's been a subject of inquiry as far as it relates to people. So one of the major questions that we've been trying to figure out is what the relationship is between this Shachianu and the Shachianus that are more fundamentally associated with a Birkas Hazman, Lazman Hazeh, as opposed to a human encounter, however important that might be. If Rav Shvira Gaon was already very skeptical of the application to Kalim, how would this look? How does this fit into the broader scheme? And then we were doing some work trying to analyze the relationship between the Shachianu and the Mechayim Esim. So let's just review some of the material. In the Gemara itself, we have a Maamar of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which introduces both brachos, and there are Rishonim for whom one could reasonably get the impression that we're talking about a singular Mechayiv, and that Mechayiv presumably being what we discussed in the context of Kalim, right, a certain simcha that's associated with the encounter. Well, some of those Rishonim might include Akiva.
Their riff and their Rambam.
Right, exactly. And for the Rambam, it was perhaps even more meduyak, because what did the Rambam say? What was the...
The Vachain?
Yeah, the Vachain, exactly, linking it to...
The Latsug of Kana Bonabai. I thought there's Kana Kelim Chadasha.
Right, but also the Vachain links forward in the Rambam to...
Haroah Pri?
Yeah, right, when it comes to Pri, right, it's all discussed together, and there it's also, right, Yud Beis Chodesh, Mishadesh, Mishana Lashana. Sounds like they're all part of the same constellation for the Rambam, and we know the Shitas HaRambam seems to be very sensitive to the idea of Simcha and not overdoing it, because Noam Barinholtz, what's the modulation point in the Rambam in terms of Shachianu, which is relevant not only to its primary sugya, but to its extension, its branch into this area, that the Rambam paskins. What's the psak halach of the Rambam by Shachianu Kalim?
I'm not sure.
Like Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Kama, as opposed to Lishna Basra, which is against Rav Rishonim. The Rashba thought it was correct, but was not willing to say it. So for the Rambam, he's pretty committed to the idea of Simcha, and at some point the Simcha would dissipate. And here you would say that the Mechayim Esim, right, just like Hatov Yameitiv can take the place of Shachianu, so the Mechayim Esim takes the place of the Shachianu. It's an even more intensive expression of Simcha. But already in the Gemara, there are indications that the story is more complex than that, because what do we have besides Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? We have a Maamar of Ilan?
Rav.
Right, and what does Rav say?
So he quotes a pasuk for after Yud Beis Chodesh, that you make a Mechayim Esim, Nishtachti, Kimeis Milev,
Very good. And it sounds like it's a completely different spiritual imperative. It doesn't seem to relate to Simcha, but it actually relates to...
A person thinking that his friend was passed away.
Exactly right. So that's the approach that Rashi is a very fascinating comparison. Rashi says this too is rooted in the Din D'oraisa. Which Din D'oraisa is it rooted in, Shimi? The Chiyuv.
I mean, a way of announcing your Veda that you found. But I was thinking that, couldn't you say that in Simcha Gedolah, greater of Mizu?
Yeah, that might be so. But it doesn't sound like they're using the language of Simcha, right? Obviously, there's a certain overlap, but I think it becomes a different question altogether. Not just a difference in degree, but a difference of kind. It's what exactly are you making the bracha on? It's on basically on the fact the person is, as far as you're concerned, been restored to life. So it's all predicated on din d'oraisa of the chi of hachraza, which dissipates after Yud Beis Chodesh, and as the Maharsha develops, David, this is the Maharsha's extension of Rashi's idea. So it may be true that the chi of hachraza dissipates after Yud Beis Chodesh, but what remains? Right? If the Baal Aveda comes and claims it, of course you'd have to return it to him, David. So what's the nimshal? If this person is still alive, right, so to speak, the equivalent of returning the Aveda is? Exactly right. So you would make the bracha, and for the marsha, the shiur of Yud Beis Chodesh is linked into the gzardin of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, something that we discussed extensively. So that was right, possibly an alternative approach based on what we found in the Gemara itself, the position of Rav, the fact that there's a separate pasuk. Now, to the extent that one thinks it really is about simcha, at least the she'achiyanu part of it, we said that there are two guardrails. One of them is already in the Gemara itself, and then one of them is found in the Rishonim. So which one is in the Gemara itself, in terms of it being a legitimate experience of simcha? Right? You don't have this by Kalim in the same way. Eitan Mermelstein?
Needs to be after you haven't seen him for 30 days.
Exactly. So the Gemara itself says it has to be the Frakim. What's the logic to that? Just to spell it out.
Because if you had seen him recently, then there would be much less simcha.
Right. So that it's not really how wonderful it is to see you. Right. Perhaps people of a certain demographic and a certain gender experience. I can't judge it from the outside. Do experience or at least manifest that degree of simcha when seeing friends, even on a more regular basis than that. But I guess rov b'nei adam would not fall into that category, right? After all, Chazal used the expression of am b'fnei atzman. Maybe that also is indicative of a certain psychological reality. That's going to be an issue that we'll see in the Rishonim addressed in terms of Zecharim and Nekevos, whether things could possibly be different. It's already addressed by the Rajba. So that was an important point in the Gemara. Now, what about the Rishonim? I saw, Rami, you were very attuned to this. Exactly. So let's go through some of those Lashonos again as we break it down further. Okay, so let's take a look. Okay. Let's go through some of those Lashonos and the Baliatosos and those who go in this direction. Okay, so Ezra Baron, go ahead. Aroach Haver Achar Shloshim Yom Omer Shachianu. I don't think it's numbered. Let me just put in.
It's the third source in the Kumakor on page 10. Rambam?
If you don't mind, just reading the Tosfos. Right. So, Ra'a Chaver Acha Shoshim Yom.
Omar Shachianu. Omer Ri, Dafka Chaver Achave Belov. About.
Okay, let's see the Rush.
Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Haroes Chaver La'achar La'am B'Yom, Omer Baruch Shechianu B'Kimar B'Yom La'atzanat Zeh, La'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, Omer Baruch Mechayim, Yisim B'davka Chaver, Shechaviv Allah, V'Sameach V'Nene B'Riyosu.
Right, so the Rush's language, Ezra, do you want to just maybe expand on it a little bit?
He sounds like it's, I mean, he had that like some sort of hanah specifically mentioned.
Right, so it goes beyond just hachaviv alav, right? But v'sameach, right? Simchas halev kan v'nehene b'riyaso. I think that might be a little bit of the Rosh l'shitaso. We already pointed out that there's a Balei Tosfos l'shitaso in terms of their perspective on kelim. It's not just kelim chadashim, but it should be kelim chashuvim as well. So the Rosh, I think, is also in a way l'shitaso. Right. So, because the Rosh, what do we know about the Rosh's position? Again, going back to Kalim, what's the proper zman of the bracha? Smak has this as well. What's the zman of the bracha? Yenison.
The Rosh is, I believe, also that's when you actually the actual what's called Toelos, I think,
no? Zman Kinyan, right? So he's basing that off the Yerushalmi because he says Levisha has its own bracha of Malbish Arumim. right? And that's the whole question of matana versus a kinyan. So here, the Rashi uses language of sameach biriyasa, right? It's a haroa chavero, right? And I think we even had maybe a avia diak in the Gemara that supported that concept, not in the Yerushalmi, but in the Bavli here. Because it's a very enigmatic discussion. Yehuda had a fascinating interpretation of it. Hard to know exactly what was going on, but what's the Gemara sound like in terms of the Zman of the Bracha? When do you make the bracha? Shimi?
When you first see him.
Right. So the indication was that when the Amoraim first saw each other, Behadeh dechazinach, when I saw you, right, so then I made the bracha of Shechalach mechachmasa lireyav, as well as the Shachianu. Okay, so this is the language of the Rush. Okay, Ben Sion, let's establish the tour. That's interesting. So again, this is, and I think it's a different shita, but what do you notice here? Again, this is part of the training in this year.
One, it's harbe, so like, there's just this word harbe, so I guess he adds just more, even more so than his father in the Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sameach Ma'od again, like his father in the Rush. So he says, you have to really like this person in order to say the Rush.
Right. Right. So again, the Rambam and the Riff, you know, you didn't, right. So Eitan puts it into the modern parlance, right? Right. It's the extra F in the Rosh Tevos that determines it. And, I think somebody was pointing out already last week that maybe there are even extra osios that could be indicative of an extra madrega, la'ela u'la'ela, in this regard. So you see a kind of a narrowing effect, Ben Sion. Those are two correct diukim in the tour, right, where he seems to be kind of locking it down even further, right, strengthening the language of the Balei Tosos, of not just chaviv, but harbei, right, strengthening language of his father, not just Sameach, but Sameach Me'od. It's just a kind of a tentative quality to all of these Rishonim in terms of the viability of such a bracha, you know, in the human encounter. What's interesting to think about, on an obvious nafka mina, relative to the lamdas that we were exploring before, is what would this mean exactly for, if these are the Gedarim, as far as Shachianu is concerned, so what will this mean for Yenison?
Mechayim Esim.
Yeah. So again, the more you think Mechayim Esim is really like the super Simcha, so maybe there are some requirements. I don't know if they'd be exactly the same, but you should, you should have to like the person too, right? Maybe you'd say, because it's been 12 months, so we'll be a little bit more lax in terms of the standards. Maybe it's not Sameach Ma'od Riyah, so maybe we can scale back from the tour to the rush. But Noam Barinholtz, if what you're talking about is simply the notion of somebody that you have an established relationship with being alive as opposed to the opposite of alive, so, what would you say? Do these standards apply?
No.
It's hard to imagine. Okay. Right? And because it's a different imperative. It's an imperative of saying, oh, thankfully this person is alive. And you probably have to have an established relationship of sorts, right? Maybe even seen the person before. We'll talk about that. But if the person's not your best friend, you still probably would not wish for him not to be alive, right? So these standards of the Balei Tosos and the Rush, right, and the Tur seem like they're more geared towards the Shachianu than they are geared towards Mechayim Esim. And so that would be a really interesting question to explore the Shitas HaRambam and the Harif, that these appear to be part of a singular constellation, is would they impose any restrictions? Doesn't seem like they have any restriction in any direction, right? It's really, it becomes an issue for the Shachianu, less so for the Mechai HaMesim. So the Bach has an interesting comment, which now is an appropriate time to introduce it. Is it red? Avi, do you mind doing the honors? Haro Chavero? Interesting. So what's the Bach's Heyara here, Avi? What he really is hitting on something very important. He says, "Mashma vada l'achir beis chodesh kevan shemivarech l'chaya mesim, ein l'varech shachianu k'leil shemivarech hatov ametiv, ein l'varech shachianu." So what sad and alum does this appear to be? I don't know that this is the mashmaus of all the poskim. I didn't think there's room to be mechalik, but this is how I think the Bach was looking at it. So Levi, what do you think? What does he seem to be suggesting?
Well, he definitely seems to be suggesting that he's drawing an equivalence between Mechaya Mesim and Hatova Metiv, but beyond that, I'm not sure exactly what to make of that.
Okay, yeah, just drill down a little bit further. Shimi? Shimi, I thought you were raising your hand. No? Okay. Yehuda, what do you think? What do you think he's suggesting? Saying, just like you make a Tovia Metiv, you're not going to have to make a Shachianu.
It seems more to me that he thinks Shachianu is based around the Simcha of seeing them, but Chaya Mesim is more of not exactly Simcha, but the loss of Yesh.
Right, so he starts off in that direction by quoting Rashi, but then he makes a very explicit comparison, which I think is suggestive of something, at least possibly. Ilan?
Just like by Hatov HaMeitiv, it's like an enhanced form of Shechayanu for whatever reason, maybe because it's Tova for others also.
Right.
Here, Mechaya Mesim is like a better version of Shechayanu, so it's important because it would probably mean that it would carry all the dini, according to the Bach.
Right. So I think that's, I don't know about the last point, because you might say that, okay, we'll relax the standards a little bit because 12 months means maybe there's a greater simcha even for a person that you're, you know, and even like, you know, 5 years, right? You know, a person that you might be less close with. So leaving aside that last point, right, I can completely agree, right? What the Bach appears to be wrestling with is this question of, well, maybe you should make both. Maybe you should make the Shachianu on the simcha and the Mechai Mesim on the, you know, the revival of the quote-unquote dead. But he says no, right? That the Shachianu is Bechal, the Mechai Mesim. The Mechai Mesim is just a stronger formulation, just like the only difference, this is not a qualitative difference, it's a quantitative difference between Shechianu and Hatov HaMeitiv, at least according to the Bavli, is whether it's a personal simcha or whether it's a simcha that is shared by multiple people. Right? Noah Berenholtz?
Yeah, I had a question. Why would you have more simcha for, like, someone you're less close with after you see him, like, after a long time? Well, at least for me, like, if I like don't really, like, I'm not like friends with someone and I don't see them for a while, then, like, I don't know, I just haven't seen them for a while and I see them again and I'm like, oh, you're here, you're also alive. So it's like I'm someone I'm really close with, then I'd be actually excited to see them again.
Right. So I can understand what you're saying. I think maybe this also comes a little bit with age, to be honest. Is that, you know, you guys are used to having like very intensive friendships and seeing people or Zooming with people in the 2020 on a regular basis. So the sense of friendship may change. But once you hit into adulthood, so even people that you're acquaintances with, but you don't really see, you may see once every 3 years, you know, you bump into them, it's a very nice thing to see somebody, say, oh, how are you? You know, how are you doing? That's the way that life changes. So I do think that that might come actually with time. So I can't, you know, guarantee that will be the case for you, but I know that was certainly a development for me. You've probably seen it with your parents, right? They encounter people they haven't seen for a very long time, even though by definition they're not best friends, right? It's nice for them. So it's different based on sort of the patterns of people's social interactions. Okay, so I think that in Ilan's interpretation, the Bach is fundamentally correct. And it suggests that he understood them as on the kind of a continuum between, you know, Shachianu and Mechai HaMesim. Okay, so this is really now what we've been building up to, which is the Shita of the Beis Yosef. Okay, so Yoni, do you mind doing the honors here?
Sure. The Mashakosov, the who Shechaviv Alav Vikula, Kolkach Shem Tosfos, the Hariv Harash, the Kosov Harashba, the Chuba, Shemi Shalo Raas Haber Meolam, the Shalaklo Suvim, Afal P, Shehu Nene Bereiso, Eno Mevarek Al Reiso, the Kosov O, Mashasha. Alas, the brachos haroa es chavero im yesh bechlal zen nashim ke anashim in love tshuva eni yodea bezeh chiluk bein zicharim linakevos.
A very fascinating discussion there. We'll come back to it in terms of zicharim linakevos. For now, I want to focus mostly on the first point, right? The person wanted to know, maybe we could be mechalik between zicharim and nekevos. Interesting distinctions to be drawn there. I'm not sure entirely what the Shoel had in mind. See how the way that people responded to it, but it is a very fascinating point, right? To the extent that we're trying to get into, you know, how people experience, let's say, simcha, there are d'oraisa grounds to be mechalik, or the Rabbanan, it's machlokes between Rambam and the Baal HaTosos, between men and women, and it's coming up in 2 days. What am I referring to?
Preparation for Yontif, nice clothes versus, like, right. Mead and wine and jewelry.
Elu va'elu va'elu karai bahem, right? Anashim karai bahem, nashim karai bahen, and kitanim karai bahen, right? That's the Rambam's extension in terms of mechaliklam klayos gozim, and etc. So simcha may differ, not just in that case in terms of what the chefta, which is going to elicit, catalyze the appropriate response, but maybe we would look at this differently. Who knows? As I suggested before, maybe you'd even be willing to adjust the time factor, you know, of Lefrakim. It's an amazing thing. And again, those of you who have sisters may be aware there's a different pattern of socialization, amongst the Am Bifnei Atzman. So it's a very fascinating thing. Now we'll see that when this gets picked up by the poskim, so they address it in a more narrow way, but I do think it's a fascinating question. Back to the first point of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has a very critical, very, very critical citation here from the Rashba. So Menachem, what was the Rashba thinking? What was his approach, his perspective?
It seems like you're saying that a friend, like a pen pal or something that you only communicate through letters with, even if you see him, you don't make a shachianah because I guess you could say that you've never seen him before in your life. So that could play a role. It's like a chaver chadash in regards to a riyasa because you only know him through his letters.
Right. So this is a really interesting perspective. Now, prima facie, if this is a din in Simcha, right? So, you know, the words of the Rush from, you know, Kalim Chadash and Basher Hu Adam, so it's a little bit of a funny, position, right? Wouldn't you say, prima facie, that Adrabba, Kol Shekein, you should make the Shachianu. This is the first time you ever saw them. Ein lo kayotze bahem. This isn't Kana v'chazer v'kana. This is, what could be more joyous? You know, you've been in communication with your pen pal from Norway, Bjorn, who's a cross-country skier. He's also very tall and is able to identify reindeer at a range of 2,000 meters. Fascinating individual. And he's telling people about his friend Chaim in Teaneck, who studies the Talmud. And the words of medieval jurists, reads the words very carefully, tries to figure out what's the difference between Sameach and Sameach Ma'od. And, you know, these people are coming from the, and it's, wow, to encounter for the first time. You finally meet each other, and, you know, what do they call it, Duolingo, so you're prepared to greet him in Norwegian. And he of course knows English because, you know, you can't get around anywhere with that. So, you know, it's, and all of a sudden the Rashba is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I'm sorry, there will be no Shachianu under these circumstances. So it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of an anti-climax. So how do we explain such a Rashba? There's a perspective here. Michael?
I would say it actually, it makes a lot of sense, because if within such a situation, you've never seen the person before. Like with a good friend of yours, when you see them, you immediately say, that's my good friend. When you see this person, you will only know who they are by having been told who they are, but you wouldn't actually recognize them. And also, the communicating through writing is completely different than communicating through just face to face. And just talking to someone through writing, I don't think can be compared to seeing someone face to face as much as if you only know someone through writing. I don't think I don't think it's the same.
Okay, so Mikey, now that second point that you made, now you're getting to something something very important that we're going to have to develop. There are really two ways of understanding this Rashba, and Michael started to articulate just a second ago, really, I think, a very critical perspective that might be there. Which is that just to paraphrase and to put into slightly different terminology, is that the requisite simcha that would be required, let's say to meet the standards of the Bali HaTosfos or the Rosh, or the higher standards even of the Tur, right, have never been generated. That simply by definition, by very definition, since you never met this person, it can't be chaveiro hechaviv alav shesameach v'nehene b'riyaso or sameach ma'od. Michal, that's what you're saying, right? So you may think that, you know, this person, there's nothing that excites you more than getting a letter from Bjorn, you know, which has been carried by his reindeer across the Arctic, you know, and with global warming and such, you know, there's the fewer and fewer paths for them to traverse. So there's nothing that excites you more, but that begeder chaveiro hechaviv alav biyoser shenena v'sameach biriyaso, it just doesn't qualify. Right? And this is, again, some kind of an objectification of what's a very, very subjective experience. Okay, Michal, that was very good. But there is another possibility that leads one, in terms of what the Rashba is driving at, which might leave one in a very different direction altogether, right? It's not just establishing some kind of an objective standard here, but Ezra Baron?
You say it has to do with the bracha of Mechaya Nisim, that it has to be literally that you weren't sure what the status of the person was before you see them?
So we're going to come back to that also. Is that what? How do letters or electronic mails or text messages or WhatsApps or tweets, how do those interact with the Bracha of Mechayim Esim? So that's a very important aspect of the sugya. We'll get there. The Achronim are very intrigued by that question. Okay, Akiva, what's another?
I'm not
not sure if this is too similar to the first suggestion, but is it possible that it's a very technical issue in terms of chavero? Halacha doesn't consider somebody who you've never seen possible to be your chaver. So if I've never had face-to-face contact with this person, it's not just that I don't reach the requisite levels of simcha. You could have all the simcha in the world seeing this person. But the bracha is haroa es chavero, and this person is not together your chaver. So it's a more technical issue than, or like definitional issue, then you don't meet the requisite levels of simcha, but you can't make a bracha on this person even if you did reach the levels of simcha.
Right, so I think as Michal said, right?
I mean, what I was saying is more that because you've never seen the person before, like seeing them won't generate the same amount of simcha as just recognizing one of your best friends.
Right, that's what you said. That was the resha, which I specifically left out. I thought the second part of what you said was really what Akiva just said, that it's a begeder. You can't really consider this person a chaver, again, no matter how excited you are when they get their letters. So again, Akiva had a slightly different formulation than I did. Either it doesn't have a chalos shem chaver, or it's not a chaver, a chaviv, it's at wherever you draw that line, but it's a definitional issue. So I think that's one.
I think very similar.
Right. So I think that's one approach. So can we maybe develop a different approach? A different approach to the Rajaba. I'm not sure which one is right, myself. I really don't know. Noam?
I think he accounts for the other side. The Rashba, when he says, Apopishu Nana Biriyato. So I think he still considers him, and he also calls him Chavero. So I'm not sure he's talking about anything about Simcha or even definition of who a Chaver is. I think there might just be something deficient about this Re'iyah, about never having seen this person before.
You hit the nail on the head. Just expand on that.
Wait, what did you say?
Just expand on it. You're absolutely right. So what's you hit the nail on the head, but just you have to just say it a little sharper. Rav Lichtenstein would say to us, "Techadet zekzat." It was always very, daunting because we felt that we had been as articulate as we possibly could be, and we're ready to collapse. So techadet zekzat.
I'll let someone else do it because I'm not sure how to.
Anybody want to sort of further the idea that Noam is suggesting? I totally agree. It even sounds a little bit more than me this way, like what the Rosh is saying. Yehuda?
I think that an inherent part of the problem of seeing someone that you've never seen before is that you don't get that immediate burst of simcha. You have to first confirm that it's them and recognize them, as back then sort of Rosh thing. And I'm not sure if you would count painting as seeing someone before. So I think that what requires a simcha isn't just having a certain quantity of simcha, but having a very high amount of simcha in just a short period of time that almost makes saying Shekhiyanu not just make sense halachically, but almost a spontaneous reaction to it.
Very well said. So the country club in tandem gets it done once again. So I think this is fundamentally correct. I think this is fundamentally the idea here, and that's why I was dwelling a little bit earlier today on the impact of Re'iya on this question. And the halachic analogy between Shas Re'iya in terms of Shachianu al B'nai Adam and Shas Kinyan in terms of Shachianu B'Kelim. So you need some kind of a transaction, right? And we talked about Matana, Yerusha, Kinyan. So you need something that's defined as a Re'iya. But what the Rajaba is doing is he's tightening the screws a little bit. And he's saying, yeah, of course, in both cases, right, your eyes are perceiving the human being. But what the Gemara was driving at is haroa es chaveiro, that b'shas re'iya, and that, Mikey, that's why I deliberately left off the first part of what you said, right, but b'shas re'iya, right, you don't necessarily identify him as your chaver. Right? Haroa es chaveiro. La'achar shloshim yom, implying again that this was not the first time that you've encountered the person. So the re'iya itself has to be the moment of simcha. Okay? And so I think that's what the Rashba means. Yes, of course there's simcha in Hanoah, right, that you'll have once you guys sit down for coffee. and you start trading stories, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's an exciting thing, and you know, etc., etc. But it doesn't qualify for haroes chavero, where the re'ia is the gorim of the simcha. Even if he wrote to you in advance and said, you know, I'll probably be the only person who's 6'9" and wearing a red home knit sweater in the train station, you know, with cross country skis on. So right, it wasn't that you were misupak that it was him, but nonetheless, the fact that it wasn't sort of a rekindling of a previous re'ia makes this technically deficient. So that could be another perspective on the Rashba. It's really two opposite perspectives. So one perspective is the halacha doesn't recognize the pen pal as chavero, or that's Akiva's approach. My approach is chavero hechaviv, chavero, you know, hechaviv biyoser, shesameach beriyaso, to that same degree, even if you do have some measure of hanoah. And almost like the opposite approach, where we're not trying. You might be the happiest person in the world, but it wasn't the re'ia that was goreim the simcha, because the re'ia still is a person you've never seen before. The re'ia is more with trying to figure out who is this person than necessarily identifying or necessarily kindling a certain emotional response. Okay, good. Good. Hold up. Rami, Yenison, Levi, Ilan, Shimi.
A rare case. Let's say someone was adopted, and they saw their parents at a very, very young age, but they didn't really remember them, and they saw them 20 years later. Would that warrant bracha?
So again, just give me a case. So 20 years have passed,
and you were an infant and don't really remember either seeing your parents or what your biological parents look like. So would that require a bracha?
Could be a machlokes achronim. We'll probably see that tomorrow. It's a very good question. It also could be taloi, right, on the two different interpretations of the Rashba. Right? So if the Rashba is saying that, right, somebody that you've never ever seen before just can't possibly generate that degree of simcha, so maybe, I don't know, this crosses the threshold. You could argue it both ways, but you know, you did see this person before, so maybe that, you know, gets you in under the technical. But if you don't really know them based on their appearance, if we're going to go in the second direction, which is Noam and Yehuda, is a re'ia shel simcha, the re'ia will be much more about trying to figure out who the person is. So you could argue it both ways, but I think it might end up being a machlokes achronim. I think, who did I say was next? I said Yenison, then I think I said Levi, then Ilan.
Rabbi, you mean the first, of the Rashban? Oh, sorry, the Rashba? Since he used Lashon Chaver, wouldn't that rule out the idea that we could say that he was his, that he, the Rashba doesn't consider his Chaver beforehand?
The Rashba, it could be just using that language in terms of the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a certain kind of chaver. So there's a colloquial definition of chaver, but then there's a halachic definition of chaver, right? So he might just be saying, you might describe this person as your chaver, but do you really qualify in terms of the halachic standard? Right, we all know, right? The Rambam's famous essay, there are different kinds of chaverim, chaver l'toelas, chaver l'hona, chaver l'mayla. So there's different definitions to what a chaver really, you know, means. Levi.
I wanted to ask, I wanted to put forth a different possibility. It's not about that, as you said, in the moment, the re'iya isn't going to simcha, it's not like a re'iya of simcha. What if it's that the friendship is not one founded on re'iya? A normal friendship, we are assuming is normally founded on Ra'iyah. But this friendship is not one. This one's founded on correspondence. So therefore, regardless of whether or not this person is your friend, Chavero, he totally could be, the Akiva approach. Or regardless of whether they're Simcha, you know, there could be as much Simcha as you want, but we're talking about a specific thing where the friendship itself is like renewed.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, is that it rekindles this, that's what I meant when I said rekindled. That seeing the person will rekindle a certain emotional response, as opposed to when you see them for the first time, you say, "Oh, you must be Bjorn."
But I don't mean like I don't mean something subjective like that, like rekindling response. I mean like objectively, given that it's about the ichus of the friendship itself, and that would even open up the possibility towards asking, well, let's say this was the first time in 30 days or 12 months that your pen pal Bjorn sent you a letter, then maybe.
Right, you're saying, could there be it? That, I think, is an interesting question. It's like, is there a parallel track? Maybe this is just the Rias Chavero track. But what you're saying in principle is something that I thought was basically within the general approach of Noam and Yehuda, right? Which is, you know, rooted in Rias Chavero. Good. What do we have next? Mikey. Oh, no, Elam. Sorry, I'm sorry. Elam was next. Sorry, hard to keep track.
Could it be because the Rashba says that it's, even though he has Hana Biriyaso, that the Rashba doesn't hold it's about Hana, but rather like there's a suffix that you would never see the person again. So that's why you would make the bracha. It's really a bracha and the suffix that you would never see them again. Then after such a long time of not seeing them, then you make a bracha. But this guy that you only wrote to by, you didn't know if there was a suffix, because like could just be that the mail was slow.
Right. So I'm more compelled by that Savara, which I like very much, for Mechayim Mason than for Shachianu. I think that's more in line with what Mechayim Mason's about than Shachianu necessarily. But it's a very important line of thinking. Okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to go in exactly the right order here, but Michal, Yoni, and Shimi.
I think I had a question at one point, but it was either asked or I forgot.
All right.
It was asked.
All right, we can always come back to you. Yoni?
My audio was cutting out before, so it may have been said and I just missed it, but is it possible to say that the Rashba's two explanations are connected in the sense that he's saying that Ra'iyah is so intrinsic to establishing that base level of friendship, that base level of connection, that without the initial Ra'iyah, the next Ra'iyah, which generates such a spontaneous immense joy, that's simply not possible because the foundational one is lacking.
Yeah, so that's what we're considering the second approach. I think you formulated it very, very eloquently.
But would that include the first approach, or how would the first?
I think the first approach is a little different. The first approach is just saying, you know, you can't build up, right, this kind of friendship, you know, through letters. I'm setting up for tomorrow is machlokas achronim. Saying, let's say the emotional bond is so strong, you know, within that approach that you really don't, you're really going to be willing to make a logical exception. Maybe if you're long lost twins, you were separated. I don't know, these stories that they have on daytime TV, right? Like they were separated in the nursery, and then they haven't seen each other since then, and they...
It's like the Parent Trap.
Yeah, not sure the reference, but I get the,
Antoninus and Rebbe.
Okay, there you... Exactly. Thank you. I didn't realize they made a movie about it. Okay, Shimmy.
We mentioned that one of the possibilities for explaining the Rashba is that maybe it's because when you first see him, you're not sure. See your friend, you're not sure if it's really him. But nowadays, when we have profile pictures on WhatsApp, you know, you might have seen his face 1,000 times before you'd ever seen him in person.
Right, so I think you guys are probably the best generation ever to answer that question, because you you have so many re'ios via Zoom. It's like, you know, incalculable. And I think we'd all agree it's not really the same. I love the learning, but the learning I don't think is diminished at all. But in terms of the social interaction, so I'm not saying it's just a measure of identification. It's about what I called the rekindling, right? I think Levi spoke to that point as well. Okay, Mikey, is that you? You're back to your question. You remembered?
So
go ahead.
So if you see someone, and then if you see someone from afar, and then when you get closer, you realize that it's one of your best friends, would you not say it because you missed the time to say the bracha?
Would you not say it because you missed the time to say,
the
bracha? Right. So that's a good question. That's like a question about, you know, Shas Kinyan. You know, so again, if you take the very strict approach that it's purely a din in the Riyya, purely and exclusively a din in the Riyya, you can make that argument. But yeah, I think we mentioned that, you know, the same kind of issue comes up in terms of Hagomel. Is it Shloshim Yom? Maybe we'll allow the person to have up to Yid Beis Chodesh. So it's possible to take such an approach, but, you know, you could be flexible as well. Okay, so I just want to get in one more point. Not to cut off the questions, but just to get in the Drisha's perspective on this. Ilan, if you don't mind. So, v'chasavod.
I need to unmute myself.
Sorry.
V'chasavod, she'enu mevarech ala b'parm harishon, she'ashinu gadol alav. Ulefim ma she'kasav lemala mevarech achat l'shloshim yom, ve'ayin ma she'kasavti b'sof simana reshud ches, יש לה שוס מאי טיימ מקסב הרייב וכאן דלו יברך על הפעם הראשון ושם בבירחס רירוס מפומניס קסב מכאן ואילך רישוס.
Okay, so the very fascinating idea being introduced by the Drisha, and he's citing an earlier authority, the Ravid, you know, in terms of a potential chilek. So what's the point that the Drisha is making? It should sound awfully familiar to us from a different and later Acharon, a different sugya.
From the Aruch HaShulchan.
Right, exactly. So saying that the only time you'd really make this bracha is
the first time that you see your friend after 30 days.
Exactly, right. But there's like diminishing returns. So we could all argue that point and debate that point, you know, many times over. I think, frankly, it's much more debatable here than the Aruch HaShulchan's point, right? Because I think the Aruch HaShulchan, when you're talking about, you know, a pair of sneakers, I guess there are people, Mamono Chaviv Alav Migufo, so I guess the extension of that would be they're more excited every time they get a pair of Chuck Taylors than every time they see Chuck Taylor himself after 30 days. So I think it's a far more debatable point here than it is by the Aruch HaShulchan's rendition of it. But what's the second issue?
That the Ravid writes by a place of where you see a miracle that happened, the first time it's a chova, and every time after that it's a rishos.
Right, so he's like a little bothered. He thinks maybe is the Ravid being inconsistent here, he's saying. The Ravid, he thinks, subscribes to the idea that it's pamachas here. A one-time bracha. But by nisim, you have the right to continue to make the bracha. So is that an inconsistent position? Is that
the nis is probably shevach, nes is probably shevach, and then this is da maybe, so they're not the same chayiv, so it's not inconsistent.
Okay, right. So we can start to do the work. Okay, so Ilan got their ball rolling. Who wants to pick it up from there? So Akiva, what do you think in the context of the nes? Why might the Ravid have said, you know what? You want to make the bracha after the, you don't have to, but you want to make the bracha after the first time. You can make the bracha. That's okay.
I think we said because hoda'a, as much as you can, we encourage thank yous, but shevach can be cheapened by excessive shevach.
Right. So I'm not sure it's a straight shevach hoda'a issue, because I don't know that the shachiyanu issue is a shevach issue in the pure sense of the term. It might be, but I think what he's getting at is the simcha you know, there are diminishing returns. But I agreed with what you said about the Hodah, so maybe let's just try to put a little bit of a finer point on it, if possible. The entire Mechayiv on making the bracha on the Makom Sha'asalines, right, but Makom Hazah, is what, Ben Sion? What's the Mechayiv? Like, why do you have to make this bracha anyway? The first time. Because you recognize that, go ahead, Ezra? Yenison?
It seems like it's more of an objective what's a bracha. I mean, that it doesn't matter what you feel. My son, the makom is there, and you have to keep on, whenever you see the makom, shuv must be after every shlishim yom. But still, what's all? It doesn't change based on how you feel.
Right, so. Right, so again, the Ravid does allow for some subjectivity because it says the Rishos, but I think you're right insofar as the point is that a person owes their life to this nace that took place in that location. Person owes his life to it. And as such, if a person really owes his life to the miracle that occurred, so you can't deny, you can't categorically prohibit somebody who wants to express that Hodah. Because it is true, right? As we said, there's no Harezeh Mecharef Umegadef. The person feels an ongoing sense of deep Hakaras Hatov for everything that he has. So are there going to be some limits on that? Yeah, I can't do it within 30 days because we have to have some quality control on the bracha. But, you know, either you will be chayav or you'll be at least permitted to do so every 30 days. But what the Ravid is saying is that, you know, to warrant a shachianu, if you believe that encountering people warrants a shachianu, so there are diminishing returns. So you saw the person, for the first time, let's say it's been 6 months, right? So you make your shachianu. And 2 months later you see him, it's not the same. It's not the same. You have to be concerned about, you know, Sisa Shema Shemelokacha, Lasha, Visavig Brachos Lahakim. Okay, so we'll hold it up here in terms of new material.